This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and my good buddy Kyle Kinane, we'd get together each week, ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, other mysteries of the universe. At least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also had a Patreon page. We would offer up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully, someday soon, we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster. But until then, please enjoy this blast from the past from your old pals, Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
Sorry, Dale, but good luck, man. Thanks for the question. Joel Micah Harris. Hey, Dave. What's a happy accident you had? Maybe where you had to substitute an ingredient in a recipe and it turned out even better than normal. I thought of this because I made French toast the other week and I didn't have any milk or cream, so I used French vanilla coffee creamer. Oh, yeah. And it turned out better than usual. Man, that's great when that happens, the happy accidents. Off the top of my head, nothing comes to mind other than scrambled eggs. I like to, traditionally, I like to add a little sour cream or maybe even mayonnaise into my scrambled eggs. You know, crack the eggs into the bowl, and then I'll put a dollop of mayonnaise or a dollop of sour cream and then whisk and add that to everything. That's what I normally like to do. A couple of years ago, I didn't have mayonnaise or sour cream on hand, but I had some French onion dip. And you got your weighted vest on there, boo.
Yeah, I got weighted vest.
Yeah.
I got a 20-pound weighted vest that I wear around the house because I feel like it's a workout.
You look like an active shooter in that thing.
I know.
Looks like an ammo vest. What's this? Charlie.
It's just...
Normally, I like to put mayonnaise or sour cream on my scrambled eggs. Didn't have any. I put some French onion dip in, and boy howdy, that worked amazing because provided the same creaminess that I get with the sour cream and the mayo, but also the French onion seasoning, the flavor that you get with that dip worked perfect in the scrambled eggs. So I wish I had a better answer, Joel, but that's the only one I could think off the top of my head of a happy accident. I feel like there
happy
should be something.
You've else. Had so many happy accidents.
Really? Does anything come to mind?
No.
Well, thanks.
Sorry about that.
Oh, you know, God.
I don't remember.
Valerie Green, what's your favorite way to dress up basic bag of instant ramen? Lately, I've been doing red Thai curry paste and coconut milk. That sounds good. Instant ramen. Okay, here we go. Not trying to be a snob whatsoever, but in my 20s, I ate so much goddamn ramen. You ever mess with that, Bo?
Of course I have. I used to eat it raw.
Of course you did.
Like a brick.
It's like an Asian cracker. I ate so much of that shit when I was super poor. But now I can't bring myself to eat it. I don't mess with it too much. Charlie, can you just be still, buddy?
Should I sit on the couch with him for a little bit?
I don't know what he's doing. These mics pick up so much. I ate so much of it in my 20s when I was just dirt-ass poor. And I was also poor when I was in the van, but I didn't have weight. I would have totally eaten ramen in the van, but I didn't have any electricity or hot water. But yeah, I ate so much of it back in the day that I'm just not interested in messing with it. I'm not looking down at my nose. The people who do eat it, I'm saying me personally, it just brings up so many bad memories of being that poor of like, oh, my dinner tonight costs 25 cents. And hey, good for you for being frugal, but it's a different mindset when this is literally all I can afford. It's one thing to be frugal. It's another thing to have to be frugal. So now it's like, eh, I just don't mess with it. But I like that idea. I like using the concept of red Thai curry paste and coconut milk. I can imagine that that would take a really somewhat bland and boring economical food and, you know, doctrine up to where it doesn't taste like you're eating poor, you know?
Yeah. My favorite thing to do with the top ramen was if I had to make it, I would put in the microwave and then I'd open the another one and I'd eat one like a cracker and then I'd use the two seasonings because I liked the seasoning, especially the shrimp one. Talk about rub.
Oh, those seasonings are pretty harsh too. So much MSG. Nicholas J., my omelet skills have progressed nicely, though I have yet to convert to the trifold technique. Any recommendations for underrated or non-traditional ingredients? I've stuck to the standard meats, cheeses, and veggies. Dude, speaking of barbecue, leftover beef brisket or leftover pork in an omelet. That is my jam.
Yeah, it is.
You got some nice leftover beef brisket or pork or smoked pork. Man, throw that in there. That something about like a smoky, the smoky flavor of the barbecue in an omelet form is a damn good time. Also, my other favorite, leftover chili. You make a big old batch of chili or gumbo. Chili or gumbo works great the next morning.
Oh, yes.
Ladle to top an omelet. Oh, boy. I'm serious. Gumbo omelet, give that shit a try.
Remember when I accidentally took your chili the next day?
Oh, boy. That was the last batch of chili I made. About 2 weeks ago, I spent 6 hours.
Or a month. I think it was like a month.
6 hours making a nice batch of chili. And as is the case often, home cooks will might be able to identify with this. Ironically, when you spend all day cooking a chili or a gumbo or you're doing barbecue, sometimes, not every time, but sometimes when you spend all day cooking a thing, when it's finally done, you've lost your appetite for it. And that's how I was that day with the chili. Just something about being around it all day. You would think, you know, there's the whole buildup of like, and normally that is the case, that you're anticipating, you're craving it all day, you're around it, you're smelling it, you're messing around with it, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to actually, you know, enjoy this tonight. But sometimes you lose your appetite for it if you spend too much time messing around with it. And that happened to me that night with chili. I spent all day cooking the chili. I had a bowl. I had one kind of small portion bowl.
I thought it was kind of big.
I had one small bowl with the intention of, oh, tomorrow I'm really going to get into this. I'm really going to roll up my sleeves and reap the fruits of my labor tomorrow with this chili. And I woke up and you and the chili were both gone. And you had rushed it off to give to your dad.
It wasn't because I rushed it off because I didn't like it. It's just that, you see, my dad is a widow now.
Mm-hmm.
And
widower?
Yep. And he's 78, and my mother used to cook for him. So I just thought it would be a nice thing to gift him with food.
Yeah, we got a lot of bland food here that he could have. No offense to your dad, but his taste buds, you know, you could bring him over
some banana bread. He'd
some
be
banana
happy.
Bread that you found on the side of the street, and he would like it. But yeah,
I learned that you didn't like that, and I'm so sorry.
I learned. You sound like I hit you. I learned sorry. That you did it like that. I just
begrudging?
Triggered him.
I'm sorry.
I didn't make that big a stink over it. I was just confused.
Silent stink. That's the worst kind of stink. It was like a silent stink.
Talking about chili or farts?
Both.
So there you go, Nicholas. Try some gumbo, some chili, or some barbecue in your omelets. And oh boy, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Jacqueline Parker, why can't I find liquid smoke in the Mid-Atlantic? I need it for my baba ganoush recipe. Is that just not a thing out here because people are supposed to know better? I was able to find many different brands of it on the West Coast. Tell me, Dave, what are your thoughts on liquid smoke? I got no problem with liquid smoke used sparingly in moderation. It adds a little bit of it adds some fairly authentic smoke flavor to what do I use it in? I put it in my chili. I put it in my homemade barbecue sauce. I think I put it in my gumbo. But yeah, you got to be real, real sparse. I saw some YouTube video recipe the other day. What were they making? Damn it, I don't know. I think maybe he was roasting a pork shoulder. And this dude took a bottle of liquid smoke, and he put like a half of the little bottle. Like, he treated it like it was Worcestershire or hot sauce. And you can't treat it like that. You have to treat it like, literally, like droplets almost. I'm talking your smallest measuring spoon, eighth of a teaspoon worth, like, you don't even want to put a tablespoon. It's too much. What face are you making there?
Remember when I made salmon?
Oh, God.
I put liquid smoke in
it. Oh, Jesus. For those of you who don't remember me, did we talk about that on the... Okay, that was on the Stonebergs. Katie tried to make salmon for dinner about a month ago.
Because I was trying to contribute, because I don't cook.
So you put... hold on. That sounded passive-aggressive. I don't complain.
No, about, I know.
You sounded like, I'm trying to contribute.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
It sounded like you did quote it because, quote, I don't cook.
Oh, no, I meant to just, okay, the tone. I didn't mean it that way, actually. I'm so sorry.
No, it just sounded like you were quoting me. I've never complained about you not cooking. If I'm being quite honest, I prefer you not.
Anyway, when I cooked a delicious salmon and was trying to be innovative with my whatever you put it in, the thing, the liquid stuff, what you like?
The marinade?
Yeah,
you made a marinade. And what was in your marinade?
I don't remember, except I do remember butter.
You rubbed a beef bouillon cube salmon.
And then I put liquid smoke, and then I put soy sauce.
Jesus Christ.
And I think like teriyaki something. No. It wasn't that bad, you know.
It was pretty bad.
Okay.
I appreciate the effort, but it was pretty harsh. You rubbed a beef bouillon cube on a raw piece of salmon.
Thought it'd be a fun mix.
Oh, boy.
Surf and turf, baby.
See ya, Jacqueline. I don't know why you can't find liquid smoke out there, but it definitely adds a little smokiness in very small amounts. To soups and stews and that kind of stuff. Just seriously. But when you use too much, it could easily ruin a dish. Just because it's so concentrated and so potent that when you use too much, it dominates all the other flavors and then just, ugh. So,
yeah.
Proceed with caution.
Or it could add some fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. Jarsh. I like that handle. Jaarsh. Jarsh. Long one here. Here we go. Dave, thanks for filling my head full of giggles and good ideas several times a month. Since March, I've reignited my love for smoking with several sessions a week. A few questions here to a man whose taste I respect. Thank you, Josh. A, wood to charcoal ratio on an offset. Where do you stand? I'm using large lump coal with a wood chunk once an hour or so, but feel like I'm missing some of the sweet, sweet wood scents I smell in real smokehouse. Yes, that's your... No, okay, I'm just offering my opinion here. Take it with a grain of salt, but that's your first mistake there, Josh. Use the charcoal, whether it be lump or not, or Kingsford or whatever. Use the charcoal. What I like to do is I use it to start the fire, right? Obviously, it aids in starting a good fire, sometimes just going straight wood. At the beginning, you know, might be a little temperamental to get that fire going. But use the charcoal to start the fire. And then once the fire's nice and hot and burning and constant, then I switch over to nothing but wood. I try not to use any more charcoal in the smoke, whether it be 8 hours, 10, 12 hours, whatever. I try not to use any charcoal other than at the very beginning. So that's what I, instead of one chunk an hour, I'd, like I said, start with the charcoal and then switch over to nothing but wood throughout the duration. Other questions. B, do you wet your wood chunks before smoking or just toss them in dry? Good question. You want to wet those wood chunks. Soak them for about half an hour. You want to soak those for half an hour. It does two things. The wet wood on the fire is going to create more smoke. And when we're dealing with barbecue, the more smoke, the better for the most part. The other thing it's going to do is going to make those wood chips and chunks last longer. a dry one's just going to burn up. It's also going to mess with your the heat, with the temperature, with the size of the fire. So those nice soaked ones are going to smoke and burn a lot slower, create more smoke, and last longer. So there you go with that. C, where do you stand on foiling up larger cuts at the end of your smokes? Do you wrap them up or you let them finish bare? Something like a brisket or pork shoulder that you're going to have to cook a long time. I'm kind of new to this way of thinking. My buddy Craig, who I mentioned before, kind of turned me on to this. I was always of the mindset of you can't have too much smoke. The more smoke, the better when I'm eating barbecue, because that's the main thing. To me, that's the number one ingredient in barbecue. It's the smoke. I want the way the smoke interacts with the fat and the meat. To me, that's what barbecue is. But he did prove to me that there is such a thing as too much smoke. So, for example, a brisket you might have to cook 12 or 14 hours. You don't necessarily need 12 or 14 hours worth of smoke. You might need 12 or 14 hours worth of heat, of fire, of cooking time. But you may not need that much time of smoke. So what I've started doing back when I had a smoker, I don't have any more. Nope. What I used to do, if I'm cooking anything over like 8 hours, at the 8 hour point, whether it be a brisket or a pork shoulder, I'm going to wrap it in butcher paper. And that keeps it from getting overly smoky, but at the same time, you know, it lets you continue cooking it. And yeah. So that's what I've been doing. Anything under than that, you know, if I'm just doing a really small pork shoulder or something I'm going to cook 4, 6, 7 hours like that, I may not wrap it. But anything probably over 8 or 10 hours at that point, you want to go ahead and wrap it. Usually in butcher paper. You could use foil as well. But
I ask a wood question?
Sure.
So with wood, do people get like real weird about it? Like wines? Like this is a special wood from, you know, the Arctic. The Arctic had wood.
Of all the examples.
I know.
The one place on earth that doesn't have trees.
I know.
Of all the places. The one
anyway,
place.
Anyway, the question still stands.
I don't know of anybody to get particular about. People are particular about their type of wood. I've never heard anybody get pretentious about beyond the type. Like, if you use hickory, use hickory. Oh, I've never heard anyone say, this hickory was specifically
grown in Northern California.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, harvest.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So, but yes, most barbecue people are picky about their type of wood. And usually, it varies from region to region, because that's where... that's what they have access to. In the South, we have hickory trees, so people use hickory wood. In Texas, people have white oak and post oak, so they use that. Mesquite sometimes.
Gotcha.
That kind of thing.
What's your favorite? What was the smoker that you did have? What was that?
You bought me that one. It was just my favorite. What was that day? It was a Weber. And it's just the what we call like a trash can smoker. I think someone asked about smokers here in a minute, and we'll get to that.
Okay.
But it was just a trash can smoker, like an upright, like a vertical, like an R2-D2, as opposed to what we call just a barrel smoker, which is more of a horizontal.
Are they both pretty much the same?
No, I mean, there's different techniques and different science to it, but I like the upright ones for small jobs. Now, if you're cooking a lot, you need the surface area of a barrel smoker. But I like the upright ones because they have the water pan. I like they got at the very bottom, you got your wood or your charcoal pan where your fire's at. And then right above that, there's a second pan that you can fill with water or beer or apple juice or whatever. And that creates, that helps aid in the smoke.
Nice. So. Okay. Good to know.
So there you go. Josh, his final one, when are you going to get yourself another smoker so you can light up the new neighborhood, man? Actually, been thinking about that, thinking about putting one right out back. We got this little back area that could definitely house a smoker, so we'll see. Where are we at here? Okay, I'm going to try to get all these in. Let's see how many more we got. Oh, geez, I'm rambling too much.
How many?
I mean, I can't count them off the top of my head, but we got quite a few. I'll try to be a little more efficient with the answers. Matt G, tomatoes, onions, peppers, and grease. Oh, my. My four favorite food groups. Unfortunately, also the four foods which give me wicked indigestion. Through all of your culinary journeys, have you found a reliable cure for heartburn and bloating? Bloating is just a funny word. I can't come out tonight. I'm bloated. I had a good standby for years, but it was recently pulled off the market for maybe causing cancer. Yikes. Thanks, Dave. Hope you continue to find ways to put up with isolating in place. I think we're doing pretty good, Boo, isolating in place. We've been together now, what, 10, 12 weeks, whatever it is.
I've lost count.
But I feel it. We were talking about this off the air the other night. It's if anybody's been keeping up with the Stonebergs or even Boogie, a lot of drama within our families in the last few weeks. Yeah. And it's ironic that we have so much family drama during quarantine, but not with each other. We're having drama with people we're not even quarantined with.
You know, interesting. It's on the outside.
Yeah, so that's odd. But you and I, as far as us, we've been doing pretty good.
Yeah, so. I mean, except for the peanut butter knife gate.
Yeah, yeah, I had to.
There was a bit of an issue.
Well, just you.
I swear to God, I thought I put it. My mind goes sometimes half thoughts, and same with my actions. Yeah. And I'm apologies for that.
Apologize. Sorry. But no, I didn't jump down your throat. I was very, very polite and diplomatic about
you were,
it. Just
you were
reminding
very nice.
You that at night when you do get high and you do get those insane munchies and you make your peanut butter and strawberry jam sandwich at 1 a.m. to take the disgusting jam and peanut butter filled knife and put it maybe in the sink or rinse it off or whatever. Don't just leave it on the wooden cabinet space for roaches and ants to come.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. It's just that I have a learning disability. I'm sorry to laugh at learning. I'm not laughing at learning disability.
Matt, I feel your pain, buddy. Well, in theory, in reality, I do not because I'm very lucky so far. I have a bit I've been trying to do for a while about this, and it's never really – anybody who's seen my live stand-up in the last year may have heard this bit, but I'm very lucky in that to look at me, you would think, surely this guy – is I look like walking heartburn. I understand that. I look like heartburn personified. But I'm very lucky that I rarely suffer from heartburn or indigestion or anything. I'm just the Iron Man of eating. My stomach, what's the stupid line in my bit? My insides are made of 19th century farm equipment.
Oh, that's like just funny,
I'm just made of steel on the inside in terms of heartburn and indigestion. Like seriously, like it never. And I understand the people that suffer with this, like it definitely dictates your culinary behavior. Like, oh, try not to eat that, or I try not to eat this after a certain time. I mean, dude, I could eat a giant bowl of chili at 3 a.m. and I'm fine. Like, it just, I'm very, very lucky, knock on wood, in that regard. Every now and then, I might need a Tums. Twice a year, I'll get a little something and I'm like, oh, shit, what's that? And
well,
maybe,
usually you do it before, too. What do you do before if you know it's going to be a... Oh, Pepto-Bismol.
Oh, no, that's not necessarily with food. That's more of a travel and bathroom situation.
Gotcha.
When I'm traveling, when I'm on an airplane or traveling long distances, I take a little Pepto before the trip just to kind of put the clothes sign up for 6 or 8 hours. Just to...
That's good.
Yeah, put my insides... just shut everything down and deal with it later. Oh, that's gross to talk about during a food podcast. But yeah, Matt, sorry, I don't have any no recommendations or any remedies for that. So sorry, buddy. Good luck.
You know what? Maybe some tea. No, tea makes me barf.
Tea makes you barf.
Remember I chugged that tea once and then I barfed in an Uber?
Yeah, I don't think the tea had anything to do with that. I don't know. I don't know if we told that story. Long story short, in an Uber,
allergic to going out.
In an Uber on our way to see Tyler Childers at the Wiltern in Los Angeles and making small talk with our very polite Uber driver. I always, you know, sometimes if they're talky, I'll connect with them in that, hey, I used to drive for Lyft and we'd swap stories or whatever. And somehow we started talking about, I asked him if anybody ever, or he asked me, hey, anybody ever throw up in your car? And I was like, oh, I was real lucky. I had a couple of close calls or whatever, but no, you know, I drove for like 2 years and never had anybody throw up. And he's like, yeah, I've had a few, blah, blah, blah. And while we're talking about has anybody thrown up in your car, Katie threw up in his car.
And I don't drink. I wasn't anything. I held it, though, so we didn't get the...
You puked in your hand and then threw it out the window. Yeah. It was a good save.
It was.
But what are the odds? Like,
welcome
wow.
to the food podcast. Q&A.
You got any more vomit stories?
Oh, I wish.
Daniel Rodriguez, Dave, is there a meal you've tried during the lockdown that you've never done before? I tried my hand at Chinese takeout style stir fry, and it turned out really great. Have I cooked something recently that I've never cooked before? I feel like there's a couple of dishes, because I remember saying, not bad for never having made it before.
You did something with, remember, linguine?
Oh, I made the cacio e pepe.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm mispronouncing that. I called it cacao. And Kyle corrected me. Cacio e pepe. I made that. I never made that before. Just real simple. Just angel hair pasta, garlic butter, and black pepper.
Ooh, delish.
That was solid.
That was amazing.
I made baked ziti. I have never made baked ziti before. I made that. It was good, not great. I don't know what I did wrong with it. Do you have any notes on that, Boo?
I don't like spicy.
It was too spicy for you. That's what it was. But that wasn't my note. But it was really good, but there was still something missing. I don't know what I didn't do right. But yeah, never made baked ziti before. I made that recently. Never made the cacio e pepe, or however you pronounce that. I feel like there might be something else. I don't know. But yeah, those two things come to mind. But, you know, that's the thing with cooking. You know, it's like anything else. It's reps. It's learning from your mistakes, making the proper adjustments. Pat Wolf just fucked up a batch of breakfast burritos. Have any good recipes for those, Dave? How'd you fuck up a breakfast burrito, Pat? What'd you do? I'm curious to hear what went wrong. When I first read that, I read it as like I fucked up, like I ate them, like I'm gonna fuck you up. I just fucked up those burritos. But now I feel like he's saying he messed up.
Yeah, he messed up. It's a You know, sometimes people mess up.
How do you mess up a batch? I'm just trying to think, what are the common mistakes? Okay, here's a real common mistake that people do with homemade burritos is not heating up the tortilla. You got to throw that tortilla on the skillet for about 20, 30 seconds each side just to soften it up, and it makes it a little more pliable. When you heat it up, it makes the flour and all the gluten and whatever kind of expand a little bit, and it just makes it a little more pliable as opposed to just a complete room temp. When you start to roll it, then you might tear it, might rip and tear. But if you get it a little warm, it's a little spongier, a little bendier, a little pliable.
Maybe it was the timing of it, with the timing of the eggs and the, I don't know.
Yeah.
Bouillon cube, perhaps.
The other thing I like to do, whether it be a breakfast burrito or any type of burrito that I'm making at home, is after I roll it, I then will put a little butter in the skillet and then sear one side of it, the side that has the wrap, where the wrap ends. I will sear that side just to kind of close it up. Just to kind of carterize it, if you will, so it doesn't, I don't have to worry about it coming undone while I'm eating it. But as far as messing up breakfast burritos, I mean, I love you. Start with a little bit of onion. You do something, Boo. Okay. I was just making fun of your cooking, and I think we mentioned this on the Stonebergs.
I'm a good little scramble.
Yeah, no one would ever accuse you of being quote unquote a good cook. Mm-mm. But you do make a nice breakfast scramble.
You know what I do? I gotta toot my own horn. I learned from a woman named Orly that still owes me $100.
And talk about happy accidents. I have never really experienced or ever thought to incorporate garlic into a breakfast dish. but you throw a little garlic in the scramble. So, and it works, like, just a little bit. You don't want to go too aggressive with it for a breakfast dish, but a little garlic in there works. But, yeah,
it's
just
delish,
just off the top of my head, if I was going to make a breakfast burrito, I would saute up some onions, maybe some red bell pepper, maybe a little garlic, and then I'd throw in some chopped. I like to chop up my meat, some chopped ham, some chopped bacon, maybe some crumbled sausage. Get all that working, and then at the last thing I would throw in would be the eggs and get those scrambled up, and boom. And then I like to take the tortilla. Like I said, I heat it, and then before I put the egg mixture, the scramble mixture in, I coat it with a little sour cream. Mm-hmm. I like to spread with a spoon, just kind of like the same way you would spread pizza sauce onto a pizza with the back of the spoon or the back of the ladle. I like to do that with the sour cream and then throw the scramble in there and then top that with a little cheddar cheese, maybe a little salsa, maybe a little more sour cream, and then roll that sucker up nice and tight. And your rolling technique has a lot to do with it, too. You got to really learn.
Yeah, you do the tightness.
You got to learn to roll it properly so it doesn't all come undone. But yeah, Pat, that's the only tips I have, man. So let me know if that works. Sex Punch Supreme again. Second question. What is your favorite mixed drink cocktail? Mine is a White Russian. Bourbon and Coke doesn't count. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm drinking right now. A little Jim Beam and Coke. Oh, I do love a White Russian. White Russian I treat as like my dessert drink. Every now and then, if I'm out at a restaurant and like after the meal, pardon me, if I'm not feeling an actual dessert, man, I love a White Russian.
And, oh, I used to love those too. I used to love, what's that thing where you drop it? Oh, you could tell what kind of
Irish
drinker
car bomb?
I was. Oh, Irish car bombs. Those were delicious.
And that's what? That's Bailey's and Jameson dropped into a Guinness?
Or? I think it's just Bailey's dropped into a Guinness, okay. And then you chug it, and you have to do it so fast because it'll get curdled.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. It's odd that you mentioned Irish car bomb because I was going to say the only real cocktail that I enjoy on the regular that's not a bourbon and Coke. I mean, I like a margarita. Ooh, you made a spicy margarita for me.
Ooh, yes, I did.
Spicy jalapeno margarita. I love that. But what I was about to say, Sex Punch Supreme. Boo, you remember the Virgil over in Los Feliz?
Oh, yes, I do.
The Virgil is a very trendy, very hipster, very, Coke bar. Like, it's got kind of a douchey, Cokehead hipster vibe to
it.
Yeah,
it's very... yeah, if a hipster was in a, like if you were to take a hipster person and put it in bar form, mm-hmm. That's the Virgil.
Yeah.
Like a very hipster, like a, I ride a unicycle with my mustache and I only listen to
obscure DJs.
There we go. Thank you.
But we would, they have comedy shows there. So I've been doing comedy shows there for 8 years and they have a cocktail there that I love. It's called the Irish Caravan, and if I remember correctly, it's Irish whiskey, which I'm not traditionally a fan of. I'm not a big fan of Jameson or Irish whiskey. I'm a bourbon. I'm a Kentucky and a Tennessee guy, but they use Irish whiskey. They use ginger, some sort of, I don't know if they muddled ginger or what.
Oh, I'm sure they muddled.
But it's Irish whiskey, ginger, a little honey, a little lemon juice, and bitters. And that's all it is. So Irish whiskey, honey, bitters, lemon juice, and ginger. And boy, that those go down smooth. So any type of bourbon or whiskey drink that incorporate a little ginger, I'm all about that.
Yeah, ginger's a very nice get.
All about that. So yeah, I'd have to say that. I love a, what is it called? Is it called a Madras? Half OJ, half cranberry juice with a vodka. Instead of a vodka cran, it's a vodka cran with OJ.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's called a Madras. I like that. But yeah, so yeah. I'm trying to think of anything else. And it rarely will I order a cocktail. But oh, we used to go to that Good Luck Bar.
Ooh.
Now, I like Kyle and I talk about this a lot. I like a good, silly, like tiki drink.
It was so delicious. Ooh.
Fruit punch and rum and anything blue. Like, I'm all about that shit. But as far as a standard cocktail, I like a White Russian. And I don't know if that Irish Caravan is a universal drink. Like, I don't know if you could order an Irish Caravan at another bar and they know what you're talking about. I don't know if that's their drink.
Hmm.
But anything with whiskey and bitters and ginger and lemon, yeah, that's good. Moving on, Alexander Hackle, of all the trends in cooking today, what's one you enjoy? What's one you want to erase from existence? One I enjoy, as a barbecue fan, I like seeing this resurgence that barbecue's had in the last 5 years. And I don't know if that's nationwide or worldwide, but at least out here in L.A., a lot of good new barbecue popping up. And when I moved out here, there was only one game in town that I was aware of, which is Bledsoe's, as far as legit good barbecue. But since then, dude, we've had a lot pop up. Most recently, Moose Craft. But yeah, just that whole craft barbecue movement, I'm happy to see it. You know, some people get a little pretentious about it or whatever, but I'm glad that we have ample options to choose from, as opposed to in back in the day or still currently in some areas where you've only got one or two options. The craft barbecue thing, I'm reaping the benefits of that, so that's cool. One culinary trend that I would erase from existence, I don't understand truffles. Truffles are a big trendy thing, have been for many years now. They don't do it for me. I mean, I get... If it is your thing, I get it, you know, kind of the earthiness that, you know, mushrooms bring to the table or whatever, but truffle oil, I don't need truffles on my fucking French fries. You know, some places just go a little nuts with the truffles and the truffle oil, and just that flavor just hadn't really ring my bell yet, so I don't know. Alexander has another question. If you can, have you ever made pork cracklin'? Had it once and fell in love. I've seen simple recipes of frying up pork belly and thought I'd give it a whirl. Appreciate your time. I've never made them personally. I've made them in restaurants. I used to work at a barbecue restaurant, and every now and then, I think we would get shoulders and stuff delivered in, but every now and then they'd get a hold of a whole hog, and they would take the extra fat that the extra fat in the skin, rather, the skin that that we weren't going to use, and then you chop it up and throw it in a deep fryer. And I don't remember even really. I think we would season it, yeah, after the fact, but I don't think there was any prep involved before it hit the fryer, other than just cutting up little pieces of skin. And I think, I don't know if it was just skin or if we incorporated the fat anyway. But yeah, just skin and fat chopped up, thrown into a deep fryer, and then you could season it after the fact with your barbecue rub or just salt and pepper or whatever. But never made it personally, but I've messed around with it years ago working at restaurants. But yeah, it's good. Pork rinds, basically, is what they're talking about there. So love a good. And if you're ever at a place that's, you know, it's like in Louisiana or Texas or Mississippi, that some of these gas stations will sell. The same kind of gas station that might sell some boudin or some sausage and stuff like that, they may actually have fresh homemade pork cracklings and pork skins. So don't pass that up if you see those in a gas station. It looks legit, so give it a try. Taylor D., what's your favorite type of batter for fried fish? Thick batter or thin batter? Panko, crumbs, cornmeal? Different batter for different fish, such as catfish versus fish and chips? Same question for onion rings. With onion rings, I always prefer... I guess it'd be more of like a tempura, like a batter. I love any batter on an onion rings as opposed to just like dredged in breadcrumbs or flour or whatever. I don't have a lot of experience with making onion rings, but I do like the battered onion ring. Definitely want to go with like a battered, like some sort of batter when you're talking cod or fish and chips. With catfish, I do like the cornmeal. I go with the cornmeal with a little flour mixture with the catfish. But yeah, fish and chips. Ooh, when done right, that type of batter and the same type of batter on an onion ring all day.
What about a batter like that on a corn dog? See what I did there? I circled back. And then corn dog.
Yeah, yeah. Like a tempura, like a...
Yeah.
That might be too much. I don't know. I don't know. It's worth a shot. I feel like you got to have some sort of cornmeal involved in your corn dog batter. But anyway, yeah. Something to look into. Rat Tank. That's a great handle. Been trying to make things I've never had before that seem intimidating, like gumbo, fucking nailed it, I think, or things I hadn't quite gotten right before, like cardamom rolls. I don't know what that is, cardamom rolls or Indian food. Hmm. Cardamom? Cardamom rolls. I don't know. Will you Google that? I don't know what that is. Cardamom rolls, Indian food. Also making some of my standard comfort food like mandu and finadine adobe braised pork. I really don't. I know what adobe pork is. I don't know the mandu or the finadine Boy, that sounds, whatever it is. I like that. I don't know what it is, but it sounds good. Boy, that sounds good. Do you have any tricky recipes you want to try or perfect? I guess, yeah. I mean, we were talking about it earlier. I feel like I need to branch out more into the ethnic food. I need to teach myself how to cook more Indian food and more Thai food and more Korean food. At the very least, I want to learn how to do, like, the pickled veggies for Korean food, whatever they call those appetizers there. What do we got here?
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, cardamom buns. Huh. Okay. So, yeah, some sort of pastry. I'm completely unfamiliar with that. It looked like little cinnamon rolls and little buns and stuff. I don't know where that originated from. But, yeah. Well, that sounds good. But, yeah, recipes that I want to try to perfect. I just know so little about the preparation of it. But whatever you got to do to make tandoori chicken. I know they do, that's like a clay pot, but yeah, that's next level. You'd have to invest in a clay pot and understand how to do that whole technique, but that'd be something cool. If I ever get my dream outdoor setup, you know, my back patio with my smoker and my grills and all that, I would definitely figure out how to get a, whatever they use. I don't know. I'm assuming it's like a clay oven or clay pit or something. But to when done right, that tandoori chicken, just Indian style barbecue, man, that's good stuff. So that's something I'd like to tackle one day and really just dive into the tandoori pool, figure out how to do that. John asked, Dave, you talk a lot about Southern food, but I was wondering if you had any good curry or Indian food recipes. That was an accident that those were back to back. I'm just kind of going off the going in order here. I'm going to pull up this recipe for you real quick there, boss. Let's see here. Let's see. Where is that recipe? All right. Oh, damn it. I'm going to pause and find this recipe. All right. Found it. Here we go, man. My buttered chicken recipe. Here's what we need. 2 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken thighs. my phone. 2 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken thighs, 2 large sweet yellow onions. You need a whole bulb of fresh garlic, 1 tomatillo, 2 red bird's eye chilies, 2 red bird's eye chilies, rather. If not available, you can do 1 poblano or an Anaheim. That'll do. 3 thumb-sized chunks of fresh ginger, peeled. 1 stick of unsalted butter, that's 8 tablespoons. 2 cups heavy cream, 4 tablespoons of tomato paste, 24-ounce canned tomato puree. Plain tomato sauce will work, but you can just get canned tomatoes and puree those yourself. Make sure you get the all-purpose ones, not the Italian ones. 3 tablespoons of, I never know if it's turmeric. 3 tablespoons of that. 2 tablespoons of garam masala. I might be mispronouncing that, but that's the real, these are very prevalent in Indian cuisine. The garam masala. So 2 tablespoons of that. 2 tablespoons of cumin. 2 tablespoons of ground coriander, 2 tablespoons of chili powder. You see we're going heavy on the spice here. 6 tablespoons of olive oil, 1.5 cups of water, some fresh cilantro, and some jasmine rice. Here's what you do. Preheat that oven to 400, all right? Place your peppers, 1 of the onions, halved face down, and a tomatillo, whole, and the garlic bulb. Place all that. We're going to roast these veggies first, is what I'm trying to say. I'm just reading off my own recipe, but doesn't flow off the tongue very well. Take your pepper, 1/2 onion face down, 1 whole tomatillo, your garlic bulb. You want to slice that garlic in half and put a little olive oil on it and wrap that garlic bulb up. You leave the skin on, all that. But on a baking dish, you want to put your wrapped up garlic bulb and your pepper, your onion, and your tomatillo all on a baking dish. You want to roast that for about 40 to 50 minutes at 400. When that's done, pull it out, cool it off, and then we'll puree that in a minute. But in the meanwhile, rinse and pat dry your chicken thighs. You want to cut them into about 1 to 2 inch cubes. Set those aside. Rough chop the other onion. Set it aside. Put all the dry spices into the skillet. Toast them over medium heat for about 10 minutes, stirring frequently. You want to set that aside. The spices should darken up a little bit. So you want to toast those spices. Same thing I do with my chili and my gumbo. It's just going to add more depth of flavor there. When the veggies are done roasting, remove the stem, them, remove the core and all the seeds. You can leave some seeds in if you want it really hot. If you don't want it too hot, get rid of those seeds. Place them in a blender. All the veggies, place them in a blender along with 4 tablespoons of olive oil, the ginger, the onion, the tomatillo, the garlic. The garlic, you want to remove it from the skin. That's kind of self-explanatory. But throw all that roasted shit in a blender. Blend that up thoroughly. Set it aside. Now, here we go. In a large pot or Dutch oven, add 2 tablespoons of olive oil over medium heat. Once hot, throw in the chopped onion. Saute for 4 to 5 minutes. Add the pepper, onion, ginger, tomatillo, garlic puree to the pot. Cook that down for about another 5 minutes. Add the tomato paste and the spices to the pot. Mix well. Cook for another 5 minutes. Add the cup and a half of water. Stir that up real well. Stir in the tomato puree. Increase the heat to high. Bring it to a boil. Once it starts boiling, you want to bring it back down. Drop it down to low. Cover and simmer for about an hour, stirring it occasionally. After an hour, you want to add the chicken. And then you cook that for about another 20 minutes. And then at the very end, you want to add the heavy cream and the butter. And you want to stir that for a few minutes until the butter is melted and the butter and cream are completely incorporated. And then in the final step, you want to just add a little salt to taste. And you serve that over the cooked jasmine rice. And you garnish it with cilantro. And oh boy, I've cooked this dish probably 15 times. And I love it every time. It just really scratches that Indian food itch. Just those spices, the spiciness and the chicken and the creaminess. Oh boy. I really dig this recipe. So that's the only one I have right now as far as Indian cuisine. But yeah, man, check that out. And if you need that recipe, that is, again, anybody who needs recipes and you're in a bind, just holler at me. I'll send these to you for free. If you want to purchase them, that particular recipe is in volume 2 of my stupid cookbook. Got 3 of them so far. So, yeah, if you want to buy those, reach out and let me know, and I'll tell you how to go about that. John also has a question. We'll answer that one later on the Boogie Monster. I don't know that band, Days and Days. I'll just say that. Also, might be better suited for a Boogie Monster Q&A, but the band Days and Days, DaysNDaze, Days and Days has a song called Remnants of What People Used to Be, and there's a drunk guy ranting at the end of the track and wanted to know if it's Kyle. Kind of sounds like him. Don't know. Unfamiliar with that band. Unfamiliar with that song. I do know Kyle does pop up in some stuff every now and then. He recently popped up in a Off With Their Heads video, and he's done a few other videos here and there. He just pops up in some of these cool rock and punk videos that he might be friends with, some of these bands or whatever, but unfamiliar with Days and Days, so I'll ask him and see if that is indeed him. Who knows? It might be. Chad, I've been making these open-faced fried egg sandwiches on English muffins with 2 thinly sliced pieces of deli ham. Nothing fancy, but taste amazing. That sounds great. I was just talking recently with Katie, who's now doing some yoga over in the living room. We were talking about we've really been digging some English muffins lately. That's an overlooked breakfast item, at least here in America. And, man, nothing better than a damn good English muffin. You can just put some butter on it, eat it like that. You can put a little butter and jelly, some jam. But I also like what you're doing here with the open face style. And, man, that sounds good. I had this thought today. I don't know if this will work. I went grocery shopping today. And I wanted to get bagels, and I also wanted to get English muffins. And then I thought, hey, fat ass, do you really need 2 different types of breakfast breads in the house at the same time? So I just opted for the English muffins, but I had the thought of, I wonder, I mean, I know you can do this, and I can already imagine it being good, but the concept of putting cream cheese not on a bagel but on an English muffin. English muffin with cream cheese. I think I'm going to try that out tomorrow and see what's up with that. Meaty Gonzalez asks, if you were to explore the idea of breakfast bratwurst, what might that entail? I like what you're thinking there. Any sausage with eggs in the morning is going to work. Not just traditional country-style breakfast sausage, but I've done kielbasas. I've done bratwurst. I've done Italian sausage. I've done andouille sausage. I like the idea of just a simple sausage link, whatever it is, bratwurst or whatever, with a nice couple of scrambled eggs there on the side. I like that. You could also take that bratwurst out of the casing and chop it up and use it like a loose sausage that you would cook up for a scramble. You could do that. Like I do with my
spaghetti.
Beer brat marinara. Yeah, my beer brat spaghetti. I take beer brats and I take them out of the casing and I cook up and mash up all that sausage and add that to my marinara sauce. And yes, I know it's not marinara sauce at that point once I add meat to it, but whatever you want to call it. But yeah, matey, I would try, both of those. I would try just having a nice link, maybe chopped up, you know, into thirds or halves, with some scrambled eggs, or even chop it up and incorporate the loose sausage into a scramble. See how that treats you. Eric Frankel, father-in-law is a big bourbon fan, and I'll say I'm not there yet. We have a few bottles of gifted bourbon, though. What are your favorite bourbon-based concoctions? Can you cook with it in any way? Yes, you can cook with bourbon. I put bourbon in my chili. Definitely I add bourbon to my chili. I was just talking the other night about I make a bourbon caramel sauce that I do over my biscuits. I make a dessert-style biscuit, biscuit a la mode, which is basically my biscuit recipe, but I add a little more sugar and I think some brown sugar to it. And then I serve that with a scoop of ice cream, and then I make a bourbon and caramel sauce. But yeah, try mess around with bourbon and caramel together. You could definitely add bourbon to soups and stews to give them a little more depth of flavor. Yeah, my favorite. I'm a simple man when it comes to bourbon. My favorite, I mentioned this before, Jim Beam Black, probably my favorite. I like regular old Jim Beam as well. Boo, you always try to, because you're so generous and so kind, you're always bringing home fancy bottles of bourbon as a gift. And while I certainly appreciate the gesture, I keep telling you, like, you could just drop $12 and give me a bottle of Jim Beam and I'll be just fine.
Yeah, I've tried to get you different batches.
A lot of it I love, though. You get me Jefferson.
Oh, yeah.
That's really solid. Woodruff.
Buffalo Trace
I like.
Very good.
You got me something last week that just really sucked.
I think it's
and I appreciate
the
gesture.
Yeah. Whiskey maker. Yeah, it wasn't great.
I appreciate the effort and the gesture, but yeah, sometimes I'm a simple dude. Same thing with beer. You know, just give me a Coors. I'll be fine. But yeah, Eric, you can definitely cook with it. And yeah, just try some Jim Beam Black. Let me know what you think of that. Try straight up on the rocks like that. I know that's kind of straight up and on the rocks are two different things. You could have it just on the rocks, or throw a little Coca-Cola in there. That's good stuff. Man, I'm so white trash. Just Coke and bourbon. Drew Brooks, do you have a particular wood you prefer to use when making barbecue? What's your favorite style? Ribs, butt, beef, Carolina style, Texas, etc. Yeah, definitely. I'm a fan of the hickory wood. Now, when I say hickory, I'm talking about ribs and pulled pork. I think that that white oak works pretty good with brisket. I don't know. I'm assuming I've had brisket with hickory wood outside of my own. I'm trying to think. I don't know. But yeah, usually I'm going to go with hickory wood. Now, I'm also a big fan of what they call fruit woods, wood from a cherry tree or an apple tree. You know, apple wood and cherry wood also work great. Just not a fan of mesquite. And sometimes the oak or the post oak or the white oak, I just feel like it doesn't impart enough flavor as much as the hickory does. But yeah, my favorite style of barbecue, man, I really don't like, and I always get them confused, if it's Eastern Carolina or whatever that classic Carolina pulled pork with the pepper and vinegar sauce. To me, the vinegar is a harsh ingredient, and I think incorporating that into a sauce, I mean, I use it sparingly in some sauces and stuff, but like, if your barbecue sauce is just vinegar and black pepper, that's pretty stout. And for whatever reason, a lot of the Carolina stuff I eat, I don't know, the smoke's just not there. The smoke is just not there. So lack of smoke mixed with too much vinegar turns me off with that North Carolina style. There's three Carolina styles. There's the Southern, the South Carolina style, and then North Carolina has Carolina style, and then is it Eastern or Western? Piedmont? I get them all confused, but yeah, that classic Carolina style with the vinegar and black pepper and the very little smoke doesn't do it for me. So I'm a hickory and a lot of smoke. Get a lot of bark on that pulled pork. And in terms of brisket, I just love the Texas style or the Central Texas style, like Franklin is doing and La Barbecue is doing over there in Austin, just with a lot of black pepper. Just basically, I think they're the traditional Central Texas barbecue style. They're only using salt and pepper. But yeah, they're doing it right. But yeah. I won't get into ribs and all that. But yeah, just give me some good Georgia or Alabama pulled pork and give me some good Texas fatty brisket and I'll be happy. Brandon Howard, the best food trucks I've come across are successful for being known as the insert specialty item here food truck. If you had a food truck, what would your specialty item, what would be the special item that you would be known for that is tasty yet also something realistic to feed a hungry crowd or in a hurry? Possibly something you could prep in advance. I think I've gone on record saying this before. If I had a food truck, I mean, obviously, you know, it'd be tempting not to do, barbecue and biscuits and stuff like that. But I think realistically, if I had a food truck, it would not work here because of the weather. But I would love to be in a cold weather town and do a soup and stew food truck. And again, I know that doesn't necessarily sound compatible with a food truck format. But imagine pulling up to a truck and you could get a big old bowl of chili, Texas red chili. So here's what I'd do. I'd do Texas red chili. I would do my white bean chicken chili. I would do my chicken tortilla soup. I would probably do a classic chicken noodle soup. And I would do a chicken and sausage gumbo. So you got five there. Imagine you got five options. And, of course, I would have cornbread and stuff like that, accoutrements. But chili, gumbo, white chicken chili, chicken tortilla, and chicken noodle. Man, I just think that's just where my passion's been for the last few years. As much as I love barbecue, I just love soups and stews. I love just the idea of just stewing something for 6 or 8 or 10 hours and just all the depth of flavor that can come with that and just how satisfying it is to just sit down. And we're talking hearty soups and stews.
I love that. I love all soups. Yeah. Soup, soup, soup. Give me soup. Give me soup or give me death.
Imagine getting a nice big fat bowl of Texas red chili with maybe a piece of fried cornbread or, oh boy, something like that. Sorry. Yeah, or that chicken tortilla soup that I've kind of created. I know I didn't, you know, I don't have a patent on the concept of chicken tortilla soup, but I've created one from scratch without, you know, going off of anybody else's recipe. I just kind of just followed my heart one day and I just said, hey, I had these flavors in my mind and I messed around with it until I got it just right. And boy, my chicken tortilla soup is pretty damn good. But yeah, I would like to, in a cold weather city, I'd like to have a, probably be Dave's stew crew, be like a black truck, like a SWAT vehicle, block letters, stew crew. And yeah, I have 4 or 5 stews and talk about prepping in advance, you know, yeah. You go to your commissary in the morning, cook all those shits up, transport them over there, and boom, just four or five big vats of soup, 4 or 5 ladles, and boom, here you go. Get it and go. Get the hell out of here. All right, we're down to the final two. Sean Devlin, I'm a Philly native living in NYC, and I really miss cheesesteaks from Philly. Parentheses, they're hard to recreate outside the 215 area code for some unknown reason, probably the bread. Is there a food from the South that you grew up with that an unexpected area of the country does well?
Boo.
Yeah, boo.
I'm going to take Charlie on a walk.
Okay.
But I want to wish all patrons a goodbye. Thank you for letting me, you know, infringe on this awesomeness and, you know, stay safe out there.
Thanks for stopping by there, boo-boo.
Yeah. Okay.
You guys want more of Katie Strandberg? You can check out the Stonebergs every Monday, Katie and I. Much like this, we respond to voicemails and offer half-baked advice. And then we talk a lot of shit about our families. but yeah, Katie and I have been doing the Stonebergs now. What? I think we just dropped our 11th episode.
Yeah.
So those, anybody who wants to see the more domesticated side of Dave, can check out the Stonebergs. But thanks, Boo. Be safe. You got your phone?
Yeah, I got my phone.
All right. Call me if you have any trouble. I had to edit out a story on the last Boogie Monster about some crust punks that were bothering Katie. And I don't want to lean too hard on the Street Justice Dave stuff. I know too much of that. You know, I don't sound like a big, dumb, aggressive meathead. But, yeah, got a real short fuse for bullshit, especially when it comes to my family. When it comes to Katie. A couple of crust punks in the neighborhood were one of those things where they didn't technically do anything wrong. You know, they didn't technically commit a crime, but I feel like they were trying to snatch her jewelry. She's somewhat oblivious and naive in terms of she always sees the best of people, which is a good trait to have, except her bullshit radar doesn't work too well. So, you know, she's kind of oblivious out there on her bike and on her roller skates, and sometimes she may not see that she might be in danger with some real crust punk piece of shits that we have in this neighborhood. And I feel like hearing the story after the fact, I feel like they were about to snatch her jewelry. And fortunately, that didn't happen. But I went back and introduced myself to them. So I don't think we're going to have any more trouble there. But yeah, so I always make sure she has her phone when she's walking. I don't know why I'm whispering. She's left. And plus, she wouldn't mind me talking about this. But yeah, I edited that story out on the last Boogie Monster just because, I don't know, I was in a bad mood that day anyway. I didn't want to sound too aggressive. All right, last question. Logan Hendricks. What's up, Logan? What is your favorite kitchen utensil / appliance and why? That's a great question. I think I've talked about this before. If I had to narrow it down to one thing, I think it's my dumb little silver bullet, the little bullet blender thing. You know what I'm talking about? The smaller one. Looks like maybe 16 or 20 ounces as opposed to a traditional blender that, you know, is about 2 or 3 quarts or whatever. But this is a small bullet blender, and it just, because I've in the last year or two really gotten into purees, like with my soups and stews and sauces and stuff, I like to just roast up those veggies and throw them in that blender and puree them and then add them back into the soup or stew or sauce or whatever. But you can even scramble eggs that way. I know a trained chef might think that that's overkill. You know, you do have to be careful with how much you whip and beat the eggs. But, man, sometimes if I'm in a hurry, crack a couple eggs into that blender and just zap it for, like, literally 5-10 seconds, and that blends it up perfectly. But that thing comes in so handy with all my soups and stews. Like I said, the base of most of my soups and stews is roasting peppers and onions and garlic and tomatillos and tomatoes to get that deep flavor, and then throwing them in the blender, the bullet blender, and pureeing them, and then putting them back into the base, and boom. But yeah, that's probably my favorite one. I mean, in terms of appliance, I mean, utensils, you got to have a good chef's knife. You got to have a good cutting board. Yeah, I mean, a good cutting board, a good chef's knife, definitely top priority. But in terms of actual appliance, I think I use that bullet blender the most. Anyway, guys, sorry, it's a long rambling episode, but I think I answered every question. And can't thank you enough, seriously, from the bottom of my heart. We really do appreciate you guys. The support, I know it's just $4 a month or whatever, but it adds up and it means a lot to us. It lets us keep focus on the Boogie Monster and less focus on trying to drive DoorDash to pay the bills. But yeah, can't thank you enough. Always open to suggestions. You know, if there's a different format or different thing you'd like to see from your Patreon content, let me know. We might be... if you listen to the last regular episode of the Boogie Monster, I don't know how much Kyle, I don't know how much we talked about it, but we filmed that episode. We're starting to film our episodes, not film, but, you know, video our episodes, and we're going to figure out what to do with that, whether it be a YouTube thing. Maybe that's another tier of the Patreon where you pay an extra buck a month and you can watch the video version. I don't know, but we're touring around with that concept. I know, not to bore you with industry details, but a lot of the industry is leaning that way in terms of video content with YouTube and Instagram TV and all that stuff. So might have some new stuff there. pretty soon. Again, don't know exactly what we're going to do with it, but we'll keep you posted. And guys, thank you so much. We certainly appreciate it. I hope you guys are staying safe. I hope you're staying sane and healthy and happy. And these are great questions, and I'm really enjoying this Q&A format with Dave's Kitchen that we've been doing the last few months. I love the community that we're building here, not to sound cheesy, but we're building a community, and, you know, it's nice to see these same names. I don't know hardly any of you guys' faces, except for the handful of people that I can remember that I met out at shows, but starting to get familiar with seeing the same names every month, and great questions. And, yeah, guys, you keep it up and holler at us, and we'll have your regular Q&A up here shortly, sometime in the next day or two. But, yeah, guys, thank you so much. Y'all have a great day, great weekend. Take care of yourselves, and we'll holler at you next time.